Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen, low, great ball into the middle, what a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davison Sanchez, Lucas Moura, and belted into the net, brilliant goal! On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it, oh great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! Absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane. Good area for Spurs. And Kane's not afraid to shoot. Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Lamella will try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason. Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh wow, what a run! Yunmin Son from inside his own half has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Good morning, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever it, whatever time it is, wherever you are. We are live and direct on the new Spurs order, as ever. And I think in light of the news we've had this week, I'm going to refer to my three amigos here as a midfield trio, seeing that we now have the capacity at our club to put a midfield trio out.
I love it.
Starting off, my boy, Mr. Macho Man, the Northern ladies fear him. Not but I'm telling us how you do it, bro. Out here in the streets.
I'm good, my dog. We're trying to leave the streets these days. You know what I'm saying? It's getting to the twilight zone. I'm you know when you're at the peak and it's like I want to go out on my shield rather than my sword. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
I hear that. If there's anyone here listening, what some of our lady followers, please make yourself known to our Twitter account so Mr. Macho Man can find his match. Also, we have Scott Hall. Somehow he's managed to take himself out of the deluge of work that he's been complaining about for the past 6 weeks. Scott Hall, what's up, man? How are you looking?
You know, it's good times. You know, I feel happy. I feel like the good guy. You know, no longer the bad guy. No, but obviously, it's early times, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this club has taken me through hell before. So, let's see. It's a good start. Let it continue.
That's it, man. That's it. He's muted at the moment, but I'm going to introduce the third member of our midfield. Rumour has it that he's currently in the store cupboard at Ali Gold's office. Tapping toes, what are you saying, bruv?
I'm great, man. I'm good. Listen, I've been smiling from ear to ear all week. I've been smiling for so long now. It's crazy that I'm smiling so much when I hear Spurs news. I cannot believe what's happening. It's mental to me, but let's talk.
It's a weird place to be, but we love it here anyway. So yeah, guys, make sure you follow everyone on the socials. The tags are up here. Follow the main account on the socials. We're all over the place: Instagram, Twitter, and I believe even the main Touchline Fracker account does have a TikTok account that they are pushing now. So yeah, make sure you follow. But we're here to talk about the mighty Spurs. After a barnstorming end to the season, winning 8 of the last 11, Conte comes out within a few days on an Italian beach and makes some demands. He says, guys, I want my guys in now. Get them in before preseason. And then we see Fraser Foster as a nice little backup goalkeeper. Then we see Mr. Perry Perry out on the wing, coming in on free transfer. And then it goes quiet for a few days. Let's talk about Jed Spence. There's talk about AA Battery and Christian Eriksen coming back. There's talk about different players we're linked to, Richarlison, Rafinha. We'll get into some of these players a little bit later. And then Tuesday, the bomb dropped. Mr. Gary Jacobs, who works for the Times, we thank you very much for your services to our beloved club. He dropped the bombshell, which caught everyone off guard, especially the guys down the road. Yves Saint Laurent Bissouma is now a member.
Yves Saint Laurent. We got to run that one. Wow. I love it.
Is now moving into N17. I am just going to we're going to talk about this a lot, guys, on this pod. Okay, because it is the biggest news of the week so far. And it is the off-season. No one cares about the Nations League. Even England don't care about the Nations League, judging on how they played. But where were you and how did you react when you heard that news? The Gary Jacob tweet, which went viral. I'm going to come to a higher first. Matcha man, tell us, what went through your mind?
I think there was a lot of... I think surprise was the main thing. Like, I think the surprise kicked in before the joy kicked in. Because, you know, we're not used to seeing our club being a serious club this early in the transfer market, you know? Like,
yeah.
And this isn't to pour water on the Fraser Foster signing, because, you know, no context, he is a backup goalkeeper. But I know in the group, we were all very much, you know, like, not overly gassed over Fraser Forster, but there was more of a generic happiness compared to the Joe Hart signing not too long ago. So, but yeah, with the Bissouma signing, it was just like, it was just so strange to see us actually, because I don't really remember that many links with us and Bissouma, because if I'm really being honest, most of the Bissouma Tottenham chat I'd heard was probably from the pod and the group chat, if I'm being really honest with you. Like, this isn't to have a dig at the man across the road. Like, it was all Arsenal prop. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for us to actually, you know, get someone of that quality, someone that is renowned, is whenever anyone does a best of the outside top six, every single person on planet Earth, whatever strand of the multiverse you're asking, everyone's putting Bissouma. So to get someone like universally acclaimed as one of the best players in the league currently outside the top six, like, It just shows that, and, you know, Mr. Levy, if you're listening, forgive me for my language, but Conte really has Levy bent over a barrel to do what he wants. Pause. So, yeah, I'm buzzing, mate. Absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, that surprise. Yeah, what? Talk to me, man. When it dropped, what was your first reaction? You're muted, brother.
Well, my first reaction was Gary Jacobs is considered to be a top-tier source. So I was like, okay. There's a bit of interest there. It's interesting. And then things started to, like, progress rapidly. Like far, fast. Like, I was hearing, he was the apparent secret guy that was coming to the lodge. But that got cancelled because his agent fell ill. Apparently he was fed some lasagna. But he recovered quickly anyway there. So none of that nonsense. So obviously a few days later, it's like it's gone through. And then I'll be honest with you, a lot of things kind of kicked in because I was like, rah, 25, that's kind of cheap still. How did we do this? And then I'm like, rah, I didn't even know he was in like his last year of his contract. And then I'm like, And then all it came back. I was like, rah. Remember in the pods earlier, I was like, look, I'll take man if he's bus case, isn't it? And I don't know what's going on, but clearly the club must know something that I don't know, because they done this thing fast. And so from what I'm hearing, you know, it must be positive things if the club's moved forward. And clearly, they've jumped the gun, or, you know, gone ahead quicker than most clubs because of whatever news they've heard, and got it done, which is important.
Yeah. That's it. They've got it done. In the space of 2.5 days, we've gone from having a decent but limited midfield to now having something very, very promising. Tobes, I'm coming to you, bruv. I know you're stringing up your new trainers, but how did you feel when this new signing was rumoured to be incoming and we had this two-day period of waiting? Because everyone was talking about the medical schedule for Thursday. This was Tuesday when it kind of dropped. What was your initial reaction?
Bro, I went mad. I went mad. And I don't know why people, like, I get it. I get waiting for the verification from the Spurs, correspondence. I get that part. And I got no qualms with people waiting for that, yeah. But I didn't get why people were, maybe it's the skeptical side because of how many times we've been burnt by Spurs. But me personally, I didn't get the reason to doubt Gary Jacob, because I think when he's put out news on Spurs in the past, it's been pretty reliable. Like, when he broke the news about Lautaro last year that we agreed a fee, Alistair Gold agreed with him that we agreed a fee. But Inter Milan reneged on that because Chelsea's interest in Lukaku intensified. Like, for the most part, he's always put out, like, sensible information. He's not here for sensationalist headlines and stories. He puts out stuff that is reasonably reliable. So once I saw that news, I said, what? Because we were just chatting away. Yeah, you and Dave, we're in the Spurs, the Touchline Fracker chat, the football chat. And then Leo says something like, Spurs, well, that's that Spurs in for Bissouma. And I said, huh? What's he talking about? And then as soon as I searched it and I see Gary Jacob, I see the article, I see 25 million. When I tell you, I screamed my house down. If my sister was here right now, she'll tell you how mad I was going. I screamed the house down, hooked up my laptop immediately, put the light on, did everything. And you could even see it in my like video announcement. I was jumping for joy. Like inside, I was dancing inside. I was dancing externally. I was listening to Amapiano all day. My mood was on 1,000. I was literally just like, you can't see what I did in this video, but my mood was on 10,000, bro. Because like Ohio had said, even though we were moving for him, we had only spoken about this guy in ideal / dream scenarios. What midfielder do you want Spurs to go for? What midfielder should Spurs be looking at? And every single man and their dog in this chat has said, bring this guy to the lane. He's going to cost X, Y, and Z because he's got a year left in his deal. Why aren't we looking at him? Why aren't we looking at him? And our prayers have been answered. So, mate, I was chuffed. Absolutely ecstatic, man. Bring him to the lane. Bring him to N17. That was my phrase in the morning. Bring this... let me not say it. Bring this hard N-word. Bring this hard N-word to the damn lane. Yeah?
Yeah, I can't lie. The speed at which we moved and the fact that it came out of the blue, I felt a bit like Weebe in The Wire, in the iconic printing meme.
That's quality.
I literally see in the chat, I was like, because I couldn't believe it, right? Now, we know Paratici. The thing with Paratici, we were told from day one, he likes to look at 10 players and buy one, okay? So I would expect him in the midfield situation, there'll be different players linked. Maybe this 5 from Italy, 2 from France, 1 from Spain, maybe Madison from Leicester, whatever, you know. Just some random links, none of them really making sense, and then we go and get someone who hopefully turns into Romero, Bentancur, Kulusevski, whatever. Yeah. It's the fact that this was it. One in one, right? Word to ESPN, 30 for 30. We've done the 25 for 25.
One take. One take. Calling one take
first. One take. One take. We're in. We're done. Business done. And I'm sure Conte must be getting very excited about what his midfield options. There was a comment that came out, I think it was the day after the link surfaced, about how Conte was looking at his bench last season and going,
yep. I saw it.
And I think that explains why he never made no subs before the 85th minute. explains why certain players got run out and others didn't. Maybe he actually wasn't even trusting the likes of Lucas to do anything. It was just literally fresh legs. Yao, speak to me on now the possibilities are opened up with the addition of the Yves Saint Laurent Bissouma into our team.
Well, from what I gathered in terms of like positional sense, he comes into a team that had, well, he leaves a team and comes into another team playing relatively the same formation. So it's not going to be hard for him to understand the Conte system. It does also allow us to change easily from a 3-4-3 to a 3-5-2 if we wanted to a 3, I think it's considered to be a 4-2-1 if that's 1 or 1-2 with the two at the top. But it gives us loads of different avenues going through, going forward, especially with the midfield. You know, you can have Bissouma, Bentancur, or Benten, as we like to call him, Bissouma, Skip. And that's pretty much it, you know, because we need a creative midfielder. I don't really consider the other guy to be a player. And, you know, number 8, his shirt is about to get ripped off, you know. So, you know, hopefully we do more business, you know, to complement, you know, YSL attending, you know, White Hart Lane. Because I definitely don't need to see Huijsen no more on the pitch.
it does push, you know, right, you know, whatever your views on Højbjerg is, whatever your views are on him. Obviously, he did a job for us at the back end of last season. And now that quality, that, you know, that level is now on the bench. Let's say if Bissouma comes in and starts, we now have someone who can see our games. We don't have to rely on Harry Stinks to see out the games for us. We've got someone else to maybe lock it up. You're 2-0 up away from home. Someone else can come at 65, 70 minutes to lock it up. Here we go. I'm coming to you next. What excites you the most about Bissouma in terms of out of all his attributes? Yes, he's athletic. Yes, he's great on the ball. Yes, he can pick a pass. Yes, he's strong in the tackle. What excites you the most about having this guy at the lane?
I think in like a mildly intangible sense, because we thought Ndombele was going to be the Dembele replacement in a slightly different manner, I feel like Bissouma is going to finally be that Dembele replacement with extra sauce on top. You know, there's been times where, you know, Winks on a good day can kind of receive the ball from the centre-backs, but it's very, very rarely on the half turn, whereas I think that's something Bissouma excels at quite a lot. You know, people throw around the word register because we've all played a bit of Football Manager and want to sound cultured, but at the end of the day, Bissouma is a very good tempo setter. Exactly. But at the end of the day, Bissouma can be a very good tempo setter for us, especially with the kind of automations we have where we do our thing in the bottom right hand of the pitch and switch it out to the left. I feel like that was probably our main form of attack, especially at Anfield, towards the back end of the season. So we're not going to be completely restricted to that. I think it's going to help Bentancur. I'm assuming most of the bigger games we'll see Bentancur and Bissouma together, or we might end up being a bit more defensive and have Bentancur slightly in front of, Skimp and Bissouma, possibly. But I feel like it's really going to help someone like Bentancur having someone as technically competent as him receiving the ball in dangerous areas if he's getting pressed by, you know, two guys in that central zone. I feel like Bissouma's got a little... I'm not trying to say him and Thiago are the same player because they're not, but you know how, like, Thiago sort of... He'll get himself out of trouble by making it look like he's doing some FIFA Street thing, but it's actually extremely necessary what he's doing to get out of trouble. I feel like Bissouma's very good at doing that. Like I said, very good at receiving on the half turn, but off both feet as well. Obviously, he's right-footed, but receiving it on his left, inside, outside of the foot, he's very good at it. Obviously, just his level of progression and setting of the pace from the beginning, like he can take off the keeper or the centre back. So I think being able to build attacks that way with someone who I'm not going to be shit scared is on the ball, I think that's probably my favourite part of signing Bissouma.
Yeah, very, very, very well broken down. Just a quick word to the super chats that are coming in. Bednobs and Broomsticks with a comment here. The Goonies are so salty, it's scary. Come on, you Spurs. And also, where to Chicago Hotspur. If you are really from Chicago, we really appreciate the support. Great show. Keep them coming, gang. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your support of the show and the pod as a whole. Tobes, I'm going to come to you because so Yao has spoken about, you know, how he fits in from a formation. Ahayo has talked about his main kind of what he's excited about the most. Toby, I want to ask you, you're looking at all the comps of this guy. Mm-hmm. He's not playing against these scrubs, okay? He is putting top performances against some of the best midfielders in the league, some of the best sides in the league, and some of the best sides, obviously, by default, in Europe. Okay, we see him dominating, whether it be for periods of the game or whatever. You know, we know Brighton have been able to take points off some of the bigger teams. He's been a key part of that. Now he's come to Spurs. Now, instead of having Trossard and them man, excuse me, ahead of him, he's got Kane, Kulusevski, Son, maybe a few others. We'll see what happens. Does this give you more confidence going into some of those bigger games? The fixture list came out today. We know we've got some big games in the first couple of months. Does this give you a bit more confidence in that respect?
100%. 100%. I think, like Ohio and Yao, and even yourself, Dave, you mentioned, our team has been so badly degraded in the past 2 to 3 years that, like, Kane and Son are the only reason why the attack hasn't even dipped, but the midfield has completely regressed from what it used to be. The defense regressed from what it used to be. And it's like, we went through all the trouble with Conte and whatnot and some of the signings we made last summer to try and fix the defense. And even before Conte, under Jose Mourinho, we signed Rodon, we signed Reguilon, we signed Matt Doherty. We've gone through all this trouble to fix the defense, but we've also let our midfield slip. The big buys that we've had in our midfield haven't been good enough. And the players that used to be reliable have completely fell off a cliff. So the midfield quickly, in my opinion, became probably our joint or outright weakest part of our team out of nowhere. So we were going into games literally knowing and anticipating that our midfield is going to get dominated. And then now when you're having a player like Bissouma who can play next to Bentancur, it's a whole new landscape. It's a whole new dimension. You have a midfielder who effectively had two of our underperforming midfielders on strings in the FA Cup. He's literally done it twice against Spurs. He gave us a dose of what he could do in the second half of the FA Cup. He said, you know what? F this. I'm just going to start playing by myself. And Winks and Højbjerg couldn't touch him. And he ends up scoring in that game as well. And forget about the goal. The job he did on Harry Kane in the latter stages of the season when they won 1-0, he didn't let Harry Kane move. He didn't let Harry Kane move. And what is great about Bissouma is, like, he's not just there to destroy, to break play. He's there to push the team forward, to dictate, to create situations where space can open up for our team. And Ohio's comparison to Dembele was appropriate because Moussa Dembele, obviously, he did it at a much higher clip than Bissouma. But Moussa Dembele was a king, yeah? What he lacked for in his long-range passing, he made up for, in my opinion, in his ability to retain the ball under pressure and suck people in. He would suck 2-3 players out of the game and bang, the game opens up for us. To have someone like that in our midfield who can do that and do the defensive work and work his socks off and be great in terms of dribbling, like, it's a really good signing for Spurs and it gives us more confidence in Conte's ability to play in a two. How many times last season did we say, oh, I don't know about Conte playing a two-man midfield. We're going to get dominated, this, that, and the third. Bissouma and Bentancur allows us to actually play in two midfield and feel fairly confident that we won't be overawed.
I love what word to say is in the comments. He talked about him coming from a principally similar system as a cheat code. Didn't even think about that, but it's true. We know Brighton's system. They played wing backs. He played in that midfield role. Used to get, being on the ball, having a lot of the possession or a lot of the play go through him, switching the play from side to side. I agree, the job he did on Harry Kane in that game was absolutely stupendous at a time when Harry Kane was flying high. He was getting his assist up and was on a nice little run. But Bissouma, he locked him out of the game. Not many midfielders can do that to Kane, but when it is effective, we know what happens. It's interesting for me because, like you said, it gives us confidence moving forward. You see them, the way they're doing these deals, and at the same time, I also think it keeps Daniel Levy happy because really, we ain't really even spent that much money. So, I mean, we've only dipped our toe into the 150 that was, was generated 10 days ago, whatever it was. We've actually not even gone big. I think probably the big signing is probably going to be the centre back. It looks like that's going to be the one that costs us quite a bit of money. I had to just wrap this up for me. What's your starting pairing at this precise moment? What's your starting pair? And then if we do go to the three, who do you bring as a third option?
Starting pair. Oh, do you know what's mad? Yeah, I actually okay. So my starting pair is Bissouma and Bentancourt. But I do feel that when, and I know we're going to get into the fixtures at some point, I do feel there will be some games where it will be Skip and one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the rotation element might be skipping somebody and then Højbjerg and somebody, but there's somebody in either of those pairings will be the technically proficient one. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially when it's like there's really clustered fixtures that they're all trying to squeeze in before the World Cup. You know what I'm saying? But ideally, the sauciest midfield we could have is definitely Bissouma and Benten.
Sauce personified. Yeah, you look like you were going to say something. I wasn't going to come to you, but your face is telling me that you got something to say. Speak, Chief.
I think the best pairing, I agree with the honourable gentleman, that does damage up north. the favourable pairing is Benten and Bissouma. If we do go to a three, I think for me it's Skip, Bissouma and Benten. And if it is a two, technically I'd still go with Skip and Bissouma, to be honest with you. I think Skip gives us that robust link to the defence and helping them out. And Bissouma allows us to push up with his ability to pass on and link from the back to the front. Hopefully we just, keep hoisting on the bench because, we're trying to live a healthy lifestyle, moving forward as a club. There's no need to clog up our arteries with this bad, bad sauce that apparently tastes nice.
Oh, gosh, if you haven't caught on by now, if you are new to the pod, if you haven't heard Yao's voice for a long time, he doesn't like Pierre-Emile. Right, guys, so there we go. I mean, we do have a comment here. Imagine Bissouma and Ndombele. To be honest, I think we will just have to imagine that. I don't think we're ever going to see it, unfortunately. But here we are. And also, someone else has put here about Bissouma being Conte's Kante. It's very interesting that when Conte came into Chelsea, I think the first two signings were a wing-back, Alonso and Kante. that's how he begins to build his teams. So here we are in a similar position. he's built his teams. The first couple of signings, obviously, we've got the goalkeeper in, but we've got a wing back with Perisic, and now we have the midfield. Hopefully, midfield general, he'll be able to dictate play home and away for many, many years to come. So we're all excited. Like I said, Yves Saint Laurent, Bissouma is in the building. He's had a medical today. Today being Thursday, by the time this drops on Saturday morning, hopefully we'll have some pictures. It'll be up on the Instagram. Make sure you're following us for an instant reaction. So, guys, we're going to move on. We'll keep it moving. Transfer window is now officially open. It opened last week, Friday, I believe it was. So here we are. We've got many more holes to fill in our team. And there's many more positions that were struggling for us. Teams didn't quite figure out how to fully take advantage of our weaknesses and win that position, obviously through the midfield, maybe even left centre back, all that kind of stuff. There's been, like I said, a number of rumours. I'm just going to go through maybe some of the main ones that we've seen. We've got, obviously, the rumoured return or offer being made to Christian Eriksen. You've got Jed Spence, who is now off international duty. You may see some movement on that quite quickly. We have the links to Richarlison, which has surfaced in the last week or so. And actually, today, there was a few accounts talking about conversations between us and Rafinha. Guys, what we saying? Who would be the main focus for you guys next? Anyone can go first.
I think just before anyone goes, Si, your comment that certain man's catchphrase, you're a bad guy for that, by the way. I just thought I'd let you know.
I'm trying to ignore it, but hey.
I just thought I'd let you know. I don't know who's next. I feel like Jed Spence is in motion. Do you know what I'm saying? I know a fee is being negotiated. I feel like we're gonna. It is Middlesbrough who's his original club, isn't it? I feel like a fee is definitely in the works. I'm not too concerned because I think Villa, Newcastle, and I don't know if it's Dortmund or another German team are interested.
Yes, but, Dortmund.
But Tobes, I can't lie. The agenda you were pushing for Richarlison on the main pod, I was listening and I was like, Tobes might be onto something, you know. I wasn't having it before. I can't lie to you. I wasn't having it. But now I'm a bit like, he's okay. He's not. He doesn't look as clean as Gabby Jesus. I have a few more Gabby Jesus stocks, but I'm starting to believe the Richarlison hype courtesy of Tobes. I can't lie.
Yeah, I can't lie. Tobes has nearly got me, you know. Yeah, you know me from the jump. I'm like, he's whack. Tobes does it. So this is Tobes like, how could you say that about someone Everton team? Shut up. That's the same bloody stat every single bloody week. How can you say that? He's averaged double digits. Anyway, I'll let you. Oh, bruv, I hate the fact that you're being
so right, though. Like,
I just don't. The thing is,
they've been tired of hearing it.
I always don't want to get someone like Rafinha, so I could just be like, bruv, see, Rafinha's balling. We don't need no Richarlison, blah, 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 blah. But hey, we'll see how it comes out.
Like, what I will say about Richarlison, he does have that dog in him. I can't lie. He's got that dog. He does.
Dog. Words of fear. Dog in him. Come on. I'm telling you guys, bro. Don't even let me start my prop tonight. I'm telling you, bring this guy and watch him fly. Watch him fly.
I'll say, okay, so for me, forward-wise, you know, I think we went, it kind of reminds me, so if we throw back to when, you know, we had the bid for Luis Diaz and people started doing this thing, oh, but where's Son going to play? I like to think now that most of the fan base has now gotten over the whole, oh, but where's Kudu going to play? Or where's Son going to play? Like, they've accepted that if you want to G with the big boys, we got to have a, you know, not just a big squad, but a quality squad. I like the range of potential forward options that we're going for rather than just forwards, because you could argue Eriksen is a forward option because he is realistically not really going to play in a two, respectfully, with his cardiac situation going on in the Conte system. Like, technically, credible player. He'll be the playmaker in the team if he does start, but he'd be playing arguably ahead of the two or intertwining with the front three. I feel like the Rafinha situation I'm very interested in because with because this Fabio Vieira guy Arsenal have just gone for. I'm not going to say I've ever watched him before, but clip-wise, looks very clean. I've read he can play RCM and right wing as well, so I think there's going to be some rotation in there. So I do feel like if they do go for him and Gabi Jesus, I feel like we could potentially get whichever Brazilian they don't go for. Do you know what I'm saying? So I feel like we could get a clearer run at Rafinha, possibly. So I think that would be next. The next forward is definitely my taking my most interest, should we say.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, good point. Sai is here in he said, oh my gosh. Sai is basically saying to the world, don't let the passion pull you in. We all remember what Tobes was saying about Højbjerg and number two. Tobes just wants his Lamela replacement. Sai also talks about Eriksen. You know what, Sai, you might as well jump on, bruv. Yeah. All this stuff you talk, bruv.
I didn't even gas up Højbjerg. You know what it is? It's Højbjerg. He actually won me over in his first couple of months with his performances. I didn't even want Højbjerg at Spurs. I'll be real. I thought he was quite average. I didn't really want him at Spurs. But I was ready to accept, innit? With Doherty, I admit, yeah. But man them, Drake said it best, yeah. They want to scream out my failures, but they won't whisper my accomplishments. Because
this fucking guy.
players? What about the players I've gassed? What about the players I've gassed that have banged? Yeah. Why don't I get any? Why don't I get any props for that one? Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you don't get no props for that. Yeah. I'll tell you why you don't get no props for that, because you came on the same pod and with a straight face said that you don't think Winks is crap. Now, I know Si and Owen backed you in that chat, yeah? But since
I
I know you don't, but since that day, Winks has taken your T-shirt, your favorite Spurs T-shirt, walked himself to the toilet and taken a dump on this crap, yeah? Every single week. And I warned you. I said, my brother does not deserve yeah? And when we went to the stadium, I think it was the West Ham game. I think it was the West Ham game. Yeah, when me, Dave, Si were all there, and I was praying for the win. Praying. I was speaking to Bergwijn, and I said, "Are you, you're Dutch. That's right." And he did on that day. When I saw you on level one, the first thing I said to you is, that guy, Højbjerg, has to go. Yeah. He has to go, and I haven't changed my tune. And it's only up until the last few weeks where, yeah, he performed well and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, let's not be fooled in the chat. You were even coming back and like, nah, this guy has, he's smelling up my tickets on a weekly basis. Just messing them up, soiling the goods. But fine, granted, he had a few good games. Now, I'm not going to lie to you.
He had a couple of good months.
There are some players, you know, that you've, you know, back then, you know, they've come like when Son was down and I was pissed off with him, you stay true with Son. I'll give you that. He said, No, he's come true. Don't worry.
It's Sonny, not Son.
Yeah, it's Sonny.
And I backed the thing with Kulusevski as well.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Tobes and I, yeah, both had a discussion on Twitter. I think Tobes might remember this. Where there was one guy cussing off Kulu, and I was like, "You've seen this guy in like all of like 20 minutes,
bro. I couldn't believe it.
Wicked like this, like 20 minutes, and you're talking like, nah, this guy's dead." I said, "All right, cool, minor, yeah." And then literally, without fail, we went and beat City. I was like, "All right, cool,
mad so Kevin, like, yes, yo, hey, yo, look who it is, whoa." Kevin,
hey,
Nash, hey,
hey.
Enter the building. Wow.
Hey,
yo.
He calling when he comes.
Hey, yo.
Yo, bro. Yo. We should have warned us. We'd have lined up the entrance music and everything.
All right, bro. Yeah,
it's so good. It's so good. You go.
I heard one of the youths got Jackknife Powerbomb so that he could come alive.
I just want to say,
yes. You're going to call me season ticket side today, though.
Yeah. I just want to say, yeah, for those who are watching, this side guy is a nasty guy. Look at this comment. He said, if the spider camp in the stadium better not have magnets. He was referring to Christian. Like,
hey, listen. As I said before, when it comes to matters of the heart, I am not with it. I am not with it. Stop with the romanticism, even if it puts a man's life at risk. I don't care what anyone says. It is not sustainable for Christian Eriksen to play Premier League football at the highest level and stay healthy. It's not feasible, in my opinion. I'm not a doctor, but we've seen many a man who have been a lot more dynamic and a lot fitter than that man crumble as soon as that's happened. So please don't bring him back to Spurs.
This lineup is improving every single day, a bit like Paratici's putting it together. But hey, Tobes, you used to pray for times like this. Apparently, that's what the word on the streets are. So, who's next for you? So, I'm going to come to you. We're just talking about who's next in terms of our signings. Who do we want to see? What's the next position we should look to fill? Tobes, I'm going to come to you, and then Si, I'm going to let you have your moment still.
As mad as it sounds, like, my next priority actually isn't Richarlison. I would like to see him at the club, but my main priority now for me is to bring in a centre-back, and then bring in a right-back. Like, I need that defence working like a well-oiled machine, because I liked what I saw from the defence towards the tail end of last season. So I can only think that upgrades in one of the two of the positions, or in this case, three positions, will only make us better, especially when we're a team that builds from the back. You want players who are uber comfortable in possession and can actually help progress the play and get the ball into our midfielders, or if we go direct to our attackers as well. So bring me that left-sided centre-back, man, and just make our replacement for our two Belgian giants in recent years complete, man. Make it complete.
Make it complete. I hear that. Si, what you saying, bruv? Nice to see you. I hope the kids are at least dropping off to sleep. And I hope the missus is preparing something. Now, anyway, so what were you saying? What's next for you, my brother?
Do you know what? With the deals that are currently lined up, obviously we've pretty much got a target for the right wing back, got a target for the forward three. That centre-back situation for me has to be double-back season or bust at this point. I think when you look at the skill set of a Bastoni and just the natural balance that you get with him being your left-footed centre-back, as Tobe said, building from the back, increasing the technical floor of the team, all of these things, it's the only logical one, to be perfectly honest. Otherwise, we are going to be basically treading water a little bit until we can go back in for a more reasonable fee. So I say they just, well, what it looks like to me is that we're filling in the sort of gaps that are a bit easier to fill that don't require certified world-class talent. And then we're going to go back in. At least that's my instinct and that's my hope.
Yeah. That left centre back role definitely is, for me, a key one. I do feel like this one may drag out. Hope it doesn't. But it's good to see that they're not just focusing on that. It's good to see that obviously they have some sort of appreciation for the other holes in the team lineup that we need to get sorted. Now, so we're going to kind of pivot slightly. The fixture list has come out. Came out today, 9 o'clock. It starts off relatively straightforward. I'm just going to try to find it quickly. Right, so in August, we start off our first five games, Southampton at home, Chelsea away, Wolves at home, Nottingham Forest away, and West Ham United away. What sayest thou? What's your views on that opening five games?
What was the second one? Who was away?
Chelsea.
Ah, cool. All right, I hear that. Southampton, we have to punch up because they done us dirty at our ground, innit? So that opening game, they have to hold a real ugly beating. It's a disgusting punch up. Like, I'm trying to be there on the opening game, so I'm going to be shouting hella abuse. They might dash me out of the stadium, but yeah, like, it's going to be mental. That second game to Chelsea, listen, I prayed. And clearly, God didn't like my prayers because I was praying for their club to be liquidated and deleted off the face of this planet. God said, that's not how we do things. And I understood, and they've been saved. So, in that said, also had to hold an ugly one. In fact, I need them, whoever they sign over the summer, I need them to be sent off against us, straight card, immediately. I need them to go down to 10 men after like 32 minutes, and I need them to lose at home under the new owners 3-1. You know, I even give them a little goal because it's a derby, you know, them kind of nice things there. Now, with Wolves, listen, hear what I'm saying, yeah? If there's one club that needs to get relegated in this newer league, yeah, Wolves need to go down. I've had enough. Connor Cody and Ash Ketchum looking players, yeah? You mean to tell me these men are kicking? Get them out of the league, yeah? So Wolves have to hold the dirtiest of dirt. In fact, of that five, Wolves have to hold five. They have to hold five. The bloody horrible club. Your kit's crap. Your whole stadium's crap. The name of your stadium is crap. Get out of here. Rubbish team. Molyneux. Who names a place Molyneux? Sounds stupid. Who's the fourth game? Away to West Ham?
Nah, Nottingham Forest. Away.
You know, they're back in the Premier League, you know. There's going to be a lot of
nostalgia game.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of passion in that game. You get me? So
yeah,
so you know, right, man. So all we have to do is keep our heads. Hopefully, you know, don't lose our heads at certain clubs when Brentford came up. No names mentioned, of course. But, you know, hold our heads and get the dub on that one. Who's the last one?
West Ham. West Ham away.
Yeah, Bundy, man, bro. They have to hold an ugly one too, bro. Bundy club, their whole stadium, Bundy kit. They've had the same. I swear they're sponsored by Umbro. Bundy more, bruv. Yeah, listen. You've heard my five anyway. Yeah, it's simple. Certain clubs need to hold weight. Now, whether we're going to do that, wait and see, innit? You know, because, you know, the Premier League is the Premier League. But out of those five fixtures, I think the first game being Southampton at home is a very good opener for us. You know, it could have been worse. It could have been like one of the big six. But, you know, we got, I mean, last season we had City, got the dub. So it's not like we're afraid of the big six. But I think this opening five is a good way to start the season. We could get some points on the board and keep it moving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hi, I want to come to you. What's your thoughts on those opening five? And then we'll look at some of the other top six games throughout the season with Tobes and Sai.
Yeah, I think it's favourable for the most part. I threw in some percentage thing in the group chat earlier about like.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You just fixture.
So like, that had a number.
Yeah, hold tight 21st group on Twitter. I hope you're listening. So all of our fixtures, so the three fixtures were like over 60% likely to win. So what, the first one, Southampton at home, and then who was the third one? I've literally got it in front of me. Wolves, West Ham, and Forest, obviously. So I feel like we really need to set the stall out on these first five games, because I feel like we know what is the bare minimum for us as NSO. And we also know what Conte as a man, what his minimum expectations are going to be, our objective-wise. And we can't really say those out loud until our squad is complete and we see what we look like on the pitch. But I feel like if the club wants to go to Conte's level of expectations, we have to be aiming for five wins. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, we'd be aiming for five wins, period. But, you know, the Stamford Bridge in the second match is a real opportunity to, like, set the stall out before, you know, the big games in October, which the cluster of games in October, shall I say, before for them. And then obviously City being the sixth game as well.
Yeah, we've got, what's it, six games in October. It's going to be mad. It's going to be mad, the six games. Kicking off with Arsenal, actually. Similar to last season, we've got the away leg of the North London Derby first. And then incidentally, we're playing Arsenal again in January.
I saw this.
It's quite interesting.
Did you see them man get the tinfoil hats out straight away?
Listen, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, they got 6-7 months to find a new way to postpone it. Word to Arteta. But on that subject, you know, the bigger games, whether it be the Arsenals, Man United, Liverpool's, it seemed to be quite nicely spread, apart from, you know, we've got back-to-back in April when we've got United at home, Liverpool away. That could be a title decider in some ways, you know, as it kind of was this season. But then we've got quite a nice May. I'd have to be scared of my birthday again. what Tobes and Sai, I want you guys to speak on how you feel about the kind of the way the fixture list has panned out for us on a general sense, especially thinking about some of these bigger games.
I've looked at the fixture list maybe like 2-3 times, but first impression, that April period, if we're still in the Champions League, is it April where we play? That April period, if we're still in the Champions League, might be techie to play. To play Man United and then to play Liverpool, like, and still have Champions League football at that period where we're probably going to be fighting for something in the league. It's going to be techie. But that being said, the end of our season, I think, is generally favourable. I don't think the fixtures are necessarily, like, the easiest in the world, but you would rather those fixtures than be playing literally the teams around you, any of the teams around you, like your last four or five games, which we don't have. So, with these fixtures, with the fixture list, typically I try not to overanalyze it because, listen, you have to beat a majority of these teams to get into the position anyway, whether you're playing them in August, whether you're playing them in December, whether you're playing them in January, whatever. But I like the fact that that our big games are sort of sparsely spread. And I like the fact that we're playing a game of such high intensity and importance in the first two or three matches of the season, man. It gives me a good sort of easing point to see where this team's at, provided we get in our play every single player that we need. Every single player that we need before the season starts.
Yeah. And obviously Conte has made that clear from what we're hearing that he wants everyone in, not just before the season starts, but before pre-season starts. And whether they know the system or not, like a Perisic knows the system, or a Basuma who's played in a 3-4-3, 3-5-2 situation, he wants to have everyone in the building. And I can only imagine how it feels for the likes of Harry Kane, Son, who have gone through multiple transfer windows under the Levy stewardship and been either disappointed or strung out for, you know, 2-3 months only to see Giovanni Lo Celso come in with boots that don't fit him. Si, what's your take on some of these fixtures? What stands out to you? Anything you're worried about? Are you looking at the potential, obviously, with Champions League? We're playing 2-3 games a week in quite critical periods.
Yeah, I'd say the Champions League is the biggest thing to factor in, which means that there will probably be some shifts in the schedule as well. I don't read too much into it. What I will say, though, is in order for us to really capitalise on this season and do anything of substance, we're going to have to string together long stretches of unbeaten results, whether that's draws here and there or just straight wins. Like, That's what I'll be looking for. And later on in the season, I think we definitely have the opportunity to build up some momentum and do that into the latter stages of the season. What I will say, though, is it is pretty funny to me how, all things considered, how last season panned out and all of that stuff. The first thing that's happened is Arsenal fans have got in their bitchy bag. They go in their little Birkin of excuses to be like, oh, see, we got to play them in the home stretch. We got to play them away from home in the second half of the season. It's like, yo, deal with it, man. Just deal with it. It's the luck of the draw. Like, literally, it's the luck of the draw. It's like, there's no conspiracy against your team. Sky Sports don't favour us over you. All of these things don't actually matter. You've made them up. You've got your excuses lined up. And do one. I'm not here for it. I don't want to hear it anymore. On top of that, As Tobes has accurately stated as well, why are these men throwing so much shade on our transfer window when we're linked with the same players that they've been linked with for 3-4 seasons and we've just secured them all?
Let the record show.
Discord Live, how many times did I say you men have as much pull as a dentist pulling teeth, healthy teeth? There ain't much pull there, mate. There ain't much pull. You ain't getting the job done. You're not those guys anymore. You haven't been those guys for how many seasons have we finished above them? 6 years. It's 6 years. Like, that's over half a decade. If that's not an indication of a power shift or a shift of the tide or a minding of the gap or any of these things, how long is the cutoff point for you lot to stop living in your delusions and stating that you are this thing that you ain't been for a long time? And it's okay. Every team goes through these phases. Deal with it graciously. Get your head out your ass and stop bitching. Focus on Arteta and them and there, man. Tired of it.
You know what's funny about all of that, yeah, is they've complained, you know, cried a bit. And we haven't won a trophy. And I'm just letting you know, the day that happens, because it is inevitable. Yeah, all of this. I've had Arsenal fans say, you will never win a trophy. Big man, never is a very, very long time. Never goes beyond my lifetime. Don't be an idiot. Yeah, some of us went through school, got GCSEs, A-levels. Don't be stupid, bruv. Pass your exams. Yeah, you can't say you're never going to win something. That's dumb, you idiot. Yeah, but it is inevitable. So what happens when we win a trophy? If this is what they're doing now, literally what happens when they win a trophy?
The first, I can predict it. They're gonna say we won a league.
They'll say it's just one. They'll just tell you. They'll tell you, oh, your first trophy in this. Try and win back to back. Listen, everything you guys have said about Arsenal fans is so true. Like these fans, like they just can't stop pitching. Ever since, because you know what it was. Yeah, it's because we've upset the narrative. The narrative is that Spurs bottle. So the mere fact that we have pipped them to Champions League, winning the number of games we have and them imploding the way they have, they've done the very same thing that they bash Spurs for season in, season out. And they can't handle it. They can't handle the fact that they had it in the palm of their hands and they crumbled. So every single time there's an opportunity to try and poke at Spurs, they're taking it. And it's got to the point now where it's quite pathetic and obsessive. I'm seeing man talk about OAP home because we signed a 33-year-old Perisic, even though Basuma was 25. Even though the players we've been targeting, like Jed Spence, 21, Bastoni, 23, Richarlison, Jesus, both 25. It doesn't even make sense. We've just signed. They're talking about Fraser Forster saying, oh, retirement home. He's a backup goalkeeper. They won't talk about the 19 or 20-year-old Irish keeper we just signed literally the other day. They won't talk about that because it don't fit the narrative.
They won't talk about Ben or Kulu either, who are both in their mid to early 20s. Just saying.
So after we pip them for top four, it's like, oh, where else can we gain ground over these guys? Okay, no, let's talk about trophies, even though they didn't win shit last year. Okay, no, let's talk about signings, even though the signing that they all wanted is now joining Spurs, and all of a sudden he's not good enough to start in their 11. Okay, let's talk about the fact that Perisic is 33 years old, even though he's a much better left wing back option than anything they've got right now. They don't want to talk about these things. They just want to. It's a one-upmanship thing because they've been pipped for the thing that they craved the most last year, and by all accounts thought they had in the bag. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. They need to grow up and get a grip, honestly. And I know it's not all Arsenal fans. But the certain select group who keep regurgitating the same bullshit. The other day I saw a space about, Arsenal has more pulling power than Spurs because we were signing. But what the fuck does that have to do with us signing Basuma? It has nothing to do with you. Why are you talking about pulling power? Why do we care about who you can sign versus who we can sign? Focus on your transfer dealings. You notice that they've, in the moment, in the matter of hours, they've made moves for Jesus and Tielemans and this next guy that I've not even heard of, Fabio Vieira. I don't even know what type of player he is. Yeah, nobody is here bitching and moaning saying, Kane's better than Jesus. Nobody cares. Do your
money,
team.
Money says that you is as bad as Tavares. I put money. Bro,
nobody cares. Money.
You know what's funny, yeah.
Flipping like, hell.
Literally, we signed Basuma, or it was going to be confirmed that we signed Basuma. And out of nowhere, I go on Twitter because obviously I wanted to tweet a little bit about Love Island. I mean, you know, because man's been watching a few of that. Don't judge me, innit? Watch it with the missus. And, yeah. I see your spaces.
Saw so, the missus.
Of course you did. Put it on the little setup in watching Remy and them guys.
No, Remy can't rap, bruv. The guy's trash.
Hey, Love Island tracker, man. They need to wheel it up, man.
This is what I mean, yeah.
Expected space in that.
A spaces, should I say. Saying, Basuma 25 million. Do we trust the process? Arsenal. I said, what? Are you going to do this for all transfers?
Bro.
Like what's driving this? Listen, you know what's mad, yeah? All right, today they signed, it's going to be confirmed that they're going to sign this
Fabio Vieira,
Bruny for Vieira, or for the Nigerians, Oyubo Vieira, bruv. You hear me? Because, you know, I tried to speak a little bit of that kilo shit.
No. Don't speak Nigerian after the shit you've been saying all week. Hey, just stick to
Tweet or whatever it is. You're my brother, bro. Don't come after me because we knocked you out of the World Cup, bro. It's all love over here, bro.
Brother, let's.
What I'm saying is, I find it like fascinating, yeah, that I feel like they're more angry at the fact that it looks like, because obviously nothing really is the case till it happens, but it looks like we're progressing. And because it looks like we're progressing, if it then turns into we actually are progressing, like it translates into the league as, oh, Tottenham are consistently beating teams that they should be beating, and Tottenham are doing well in cup games and may be able to compete for trophies once again. When that happens, if that then culminates with silverware at the end of it, in which obviously the Mook would receive his name back, then they're going to lose their absolute marbles. Because granted, you know, fine, we beat them to top four. It was their own fault. You know, whether they want to admit it or not, they had it in their hands. Some people have tried to lie and say they didn't have a 10-point lead. They did at one point. Yeah, it was a 10-point lead that they had at one point. And then it fluffed. And all they had to do was get 3 points, if I'm correct.
Yeah. It was so easy. Don't you remember? Yeah, it was so easy. It was so easy for them. Geez.
That's all they had to get. 3 points. Yeah, and they had three games to do this in, by the way. Three. Three matches to do this in. 3 points. Yeah. 3 points, big man. I don't think they understand how serious this matter is. To put into perspective, you know when you start Master League back in the day and you got that crap team with Castello, Bertrand, and, you know, I'm going into it, yeah. But them man there, and you finally score a goal and you defend for your life to pick up your first 3 points. That's all they had to do. 3 points. They came to the real heart of North London and received what most men have received ever since I was born. They got punched up. Give me your jewels. Don't come
it's,
down.
It's funny water. Though, man. Like when you really, really look at it, right? I think what probably makes him even more sour is Pochettino's last however many months were awful.
Stinking.
And everybody was doing laps of honor. They were dancing. They were party dancing and all of that nonsense. Bro, we're just back. We're just back to where we were. We're back in the Champions League. We've got young talent. We've got certified killers up top. It's scary hours for these men. And the worst thing, the thing that puts the cherry on top is the fact that for the first time in maybe, I'd say maybe about a decade, we've gone to over market early for quality. We've gone to market early for quality. We've identified issues with the squad early. We've addressed them early. Oh, my God.
We're still addressing them, to be fair. And then the thing that, because I didn't get to say this on the last pod, so I'll give a quick roundup of like my perspective of this season. And there's another club that I'm going to mention that I think are in real trouble, but we'll see later down the line. But a lot of people forget that after 10 games, we didn't have a manager. We sacked our manager, big man. Like, I don't think people really take that into account. We played 10 games, yeah, looked horrible, sacked our manager after Del Sacchio because we won that. We won that game, yeah, even though we lost on paper 3-0. Brought in Conte. And we didn't even like catch up straight away. Like, we only really started catching up in the last 10 games. We were technically, if you're looking at the running, people could argue that we were out of it. I know some people thought United were in it. I was like, nah, not with that team.
Yeah.
No. And we nicked it. But as I said, we've come into the market. We've got 3 signings. As of today, we've already signed 3 players. And there's been rumours that Conte wants a further 4. Mm-hmm. If we get that done before pre-season, I fancy our chances next season. Because, you know, granted, yes, you know, them Arsenal lot, they went and signed, two young players. The Fabio one's like 22, but the Brazilian one. Again, another one that nobody's really heard of. And I suggest that nobody goes on YouTube to check his clips because they're awful. But he might turn into something. You know, the 19-year-old, they've got 2 players, they've signed 2 players and they've renewed a few contracts. But one club that, I'll be honest with you, unless something changes drastically, I think they're in big trouble, is United.
Yeah.
That club are about to start another season with Maguire at the back. That is very scary.
That Maguire is what is extremely scary, but I think there's, it's not, you know, when like a very normal picture becomes a meme. So somebody uploaded their midfield options now that Pogba's gone. And it
oh my God.
Fred, McTominay, Pereira, Bruno, and I feel like I'm missing somebody out.
Ghana.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked at it.
Like, Ghana's the youngster, right?
Ghana's the youngster, yeah. And I quite like Ghana. He's nice. He's tidy. And I was looking, I was like, this isn't United. This cannot be Manchester United. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. Like, and I trust Ten. I think Ten Hag might be, you know, taking his time and trying to be a bit meticulous with any potential transfers. But then I also, and if what I say is true, this also does us a favor. Part of me thinks he might be like, I want to have a look at everyone. I want to see what everybody's like under my system and then go from there. Like, sometimes you can't just do that. Yeah, you've got to be like, you are shit. I'm not even going to try and give you a chance. Like, at least that's where you have to give it to Nuno to an extent with Joe Hart. Because Joe Hart said apparently Nuno just sat her down and was like, you're not going to play for me. Ever.
Like, you know what? That's the best thing Nuno ever done in his life.
He said, you're not playing for me. Like, if Nuno can do that to Joe Hart, then Ten Hag can look at that midfield 5-6 and just be like, you lot ain't it. But I really hope he doesn't. I really, really hope he doesn't, because that midfield is so bad no matter what system you try and play. So if they don't fix it up,
I hope he keeps them. Not because I don't want Ten Hag. I'm just saying it here now. I don't want Ten Hag to have a bad time at United.
I want him to still have stocks by the time he leaves Old Trafford.
Yeah. I want him to have, you know, stocks. But the truth be told is, you know, I need him to suffer 14 defeats in his first 15 games.
And on that note, we will bring it to an end. So yes, guys, happy Bushima Day to everyone listening to this. Like I said, it's exciting to see us making these kind of moves. Yves Saint Laurent helping us get rid of the stink of the past couple of seasons of this rebuild.
Please alley up the clip, like a screenshot of him laughing at Arsenal for the title of the pod.
I've got it saved. I am ready for every single world class performance he puts in.
They've been twerking for man for 2 years, you know. 2 years.
But yeah, guys, it's been good. Like I said at the beginning, follow all the man them on socials. Hit us up, send in your questions, comments, queries, what you like about the show. Let us know how you're feeling about Spurs. We can react to it over the coming weeks. Like I said, there is no other football for a couple of weeks. Nation League is done. Pre-season is around the corner. Season starts August 6th, I think. Southampton at home. And hopefully the NSO will be there in full. Most of us will now be season ticket holders. For those of us who ain't got a cake like that, we're going to be in there. We're still in people's backpacks and whatnot.
Relax.
I'm not going to reveal whose bank account is what. But yeah, no, guys, it's been great. Yeah, like I said, if any of our female fans are watching, Ohio is ready to leave his anyway. Right, guys, we are out. Love and peace.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs.
Lucas Moura clips it.
Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.